God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. May seem like a departure from the program, but I promise it's tied into the program. I went this past weekend and gave a speech in a place called Benoit County in Idaho. So I hadn't been there in a while, and specifically a town called St. Mary's. And driving into town, it was kind of a memory for me. I'd spent a lot of time down there in high school and a lot of pretty fascinating experiences, including my first ever bar fight. That happened. I'll have to tell you that story sometime. It happened to me twice. That one I won. The other one I impressively lost. So sometime I'll tell you that story, and praise God for being a changed person. I don't do that stuff anymore, but I did have the memories. But as I drove into town, I saw logging trucks. I saw rigging gear for sale. I saw the memories of mines that had been there, and there is still a little bit of mining in the area. And then I met the people, and I remembered why I love what I call real Idaho. So we live up north, North Idaho. This is still in North Idaho. It's distance, a little bit of a distance from us, about an hour and 20 minutes down. But real Idaho is still just Idaho. There's no high-rises. There's no condominiums. And people still largely work with their hands. And I love that. I loved at dinner sitting and talking with a couple of young guys at my table and learning that one of them works at the grocery store and the other is a millwright at the mill. I learned that it's a family grocery store. They were brothers. One brother works for his father at the family-owned grocery store. Then they decided to be a millwright. He had to be in his mid-20s, and his wife is in her mid-20s, and they have one baby, and they're working on another. She was very pregnant, lovely family. And I talked to a state legislator who, prior to being a legislator, had the job of driving a logging truck. And he's still very much that man, although with a deep knowledge about what's happening in our state. I heard about victories, Republican conservative victories in the state. But most impressively, I saw people who are absolutely united in God above politics. Now, I don't know why I didn't expect that, but to see it and to experience it was so faith-affirming. And God led me to give a speech that was built around five Bible verses, and it was well-received, praise God. And the people there, when we prayed, they truly, truly prayed. And it wasn't just, oh, the leader's saying a prayer, so let's all stand. It was fervent. As I kind of stole glances about while I was praying, I saw couples holding hands. I saw families holding hands. There were young kids who volunteered at that event for probably 7 hours. I was back for my second serving. I waited. I made sure everybody had eaten before I went back up and got seconds. I had planned for that. And the food came out of the community, the brisket from one of the local ranches, the potatoes, again, all local food prepared lovingly by hand. I watched it happen. There were two boys, brothers, standing there in their cowboy boots. And they had to be seven and nine. Their feet were killing them. They were dancing back and forth on their feet, trying to revive them. They'd been on their feet for 7 hours working to serve us. It was an incredible experience. And there's something about being around Christians in a small community like that. And clearly we're aligned politically. And so that is helpful. But there's something about this. And if you don't have that where you live, can I invite you to something? We're doing something really cool that the American Family Association gets to be a part of. It's AFA at the Ark. This is coming up October 30th and 31st. And man, I am pretty tempted to go to this myself. was talking to a friend of mine, in fact, my pastor, he would love to see the Ark. So this is at the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. This is in Kentucky. It's $295 for adults 18 plus, $125 for children 3 to 17, free for kids under 2. And there's transportation to the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. There's a stay at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, tour of the Creation Museum on Thursday, and the Ark Encounter on Friday. There's a Thursday dinner, special presentation by Answers in Genesis astronomer Dr. Danny Faulkner. There's a Friday presentation by Answers in Genesis Vice President of Educational Content Dr. Georgia Perdome. Friday dinner and discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice President of American Family Association. Now, here's the deal. The registration for this closes October 2nd, 2025, but there's limited room. So we have a block of hotels at this discount rate. So go right now to afa.net/events and click on AFA at the Ark and go back and have that experience with, these are almost going to be all complete believers in the Lord Jesus, following him. And man, it was just a remarkable feeling to be in a room with 200 or 300 people that way down in Idaho. So I want to thank the Benoit County Republican Party for having me down there and all the folks who attended for being so kind and letting God touch you through that speech. Thank you for letting that happen. It's 100 days in, and President Trump, of course, has done a lot to shake things up. And I can't let this go by without making note of something. I am again going to criticize Speaker Mike Johnson. Speaker Johnson just announced in a very, and I just saw the audio, so I didn't have time to grab it, in a very lackadaisical, almost yawning sense, that he is not going to be able to get around to President Trump's so-called big, beautiful bill until, are you ready for this? Independence Day. That's how hard he's pushing on the president's agenda. Now, personally, I can't stand the big, beautiful bill idea. I hate omnibus bills. It's how you hide corruption and thievery. I hate it. And it's what President Trump's agenda is. So if it's going to happen, how about some urgency? Now, in their defense, the Republican Congress had some pretty serious issues they were working on. For instance, there was a robust series of speeches given on behalf of, serious issues like giving congressional medals to the 1980s Olympic hockey team. That's huge. Representative Warren Davidson, a Republican from Ohio's 8th District, spoke on this. Big, big. This is life-changing. This is what the country needs. This will bring us together. There was also from Tennessee, the 1st District, Representative Diana Harshbarger took to go speak on behalf of music tourism. United States Congress working on this, music tourism. Meanwhile, President Trump's agenda, his what he calls big, beautiful bill, will not be getting done until, as Mike Johnson said, kind of yawning, sometime around July 4th. The president is, in a way, being forced to do this all on his own. And the political calculus is probably this. Let him do it. We got high approval ratings. People like the direction of the country. Why should we step in? I mean, sure, executive orders, things created by executive order can be uncreated by executive order. None of this stuff's being encoded into law. So all the changes President Trump has made by executive order can be undone. But why risk it? Why put ourselves out? Let President Trump continue to do this, and we don't take the blame. It's all on him. Duck and cover. That's got to be the political calculus. And meanwhile, there's a great list. PJ Media put this together of some of the things that President Trump has accomplished. I mean, and it's a long list. Scott Pinsker at PJ Media put this together. It's more than 100 items. No, it's actually 100 items, 100 days. I mean, the top ones are that President Torres has closed the border. In Trump's first full month in office, border crossings plummeted to their lowest level in at least 25 years. That's continued. And praise God for that. Here's why. We are either a nation of laws or of moods. I prefer a nation of laws rather than moods. So we're enforcing our border. That's the law. A nation of moods looks like this. You're driving to work one day, you're going the speed limit, you're being careful, hands at 10 and 2, and you're stopping at the right intersections, and you're letting pedestrians go by, and that police officer pulls you over. So being a compliant citizen, you pull over, and the officer approaches the car, and license, registration, proof of insurance, please. Yes, sir, officer, here you are. May I ask why I've been pulled over? Yeah, I'm just in a mood. What? I'm in a bad mood, so I decided to pull you over. That's what we've been dealing with, a nation of moods. We feel like letting illegal immigrants stay. Second on this list from PJ Media, made more Americans happy about the direction of our country. That's nice. That is nice. It's not sustaining, but it's nice. Fulfilled Reagan's dream of effectively ending the Department of Education. Praise God. Lowered inflation much more than expected. Much, much more, he writes. Under Biden, inflation hit 9% in June of 2022. Then in March of 2025, it was just 2.4%. And of course, the tariffs may have an effect on this, probably will. So this continues with deporting dangerous gangbangers and foreign criminals, even the ones who are so-called loving husbands. And that's where I wanted to steer the conversation. President Trump has shown something else. We own, in a way, the majority in Congress, although not really. Mike Johnson is, to my mind, very clearly slow rolling everything President Trump wants done. And we own the Senate, but not really. I mean, there's not a lot of enthusiasm there for President Trump's agenda, but they'll play at it. But President Trump is on his own in many, many ways. But he has, once again, God has used him to show, this time, how utterly corrupt our judiciary has become. And the Democrats know this. I mean, think of it this way. There was a time when everybody was going around saying no one is above the law. Do you remember that? Back in the day, no one was above the law. Now, it seems that everyone's above the law if they're a district court judge. And President Trump is the only one below the law. And it's, of course, unprecedented that judges are being arrested. Tom Holman, the border czar, made a comment about this on social media. Nobody should be surprised by the arrest of two judges. I've said many times within the past few months that people can choose to support illegal immigration and not assist ICE in removing criminal illegals from our communities. But don't cross that line. If you actively impede our enforcement efforts, or if you knowingly harbor or conceal illegal aliens from ICE, you will be prosecuted. These actions are felonies. More to come. President Trump has shown that the liberals, the progressives, or as I would say, the communists, have seized not just the executive branch offices, like the Department of Education that President Trump has effectively undone, like the CDC and the FDA, but also all too many judicial seats. We're being told that arresting judges is unprecedented. What if I could come back and show you that, in fact, it's not at all unprecedented? What if I could come back and give you a list of judges that had been arrested and share that with you? Something you could share with your friends. We'll do that. Plus, there's a groundbreaking, a bombshell story. Bombshell. Experts have determined that the body of Jesus Christ is buried right next to the Ark of the Covenant in one of the Great Pyramids. Experts, you guys. So we'll talk about the expert process they took to determine this as experts. Can you tell I'm excited about their expertise? We'll come back on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get into this bombshell report. Experts have determined that the body of Jesus Christ is not risen. It's encased in one of the Great Pyramids right next to the Ark of the Covenant. And man, did they employ some expertise. I read this story with great, great interest, knowing that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. We'll get to that. Next segment, we'll get to the Tower babbling, and we will also get to a personal note. There was a great effort during the time of figurehead Biden to inform us that everything was very, very normal. That Joe Biden was just being Joe, Amtrak Joe. And yeah, he forgot some things, but that was just, he was busy. And he was falling asleep in meetings a lot, but everyone does. And yeah, he came out and threatened people who didn't get the COVID shots with death, saying that they were going to have a winter of death and despair and they'd be killing others. But that was normal. It's very, very normal for presidents or even figureheads to do that. There was this, the normalization of kids having strokes. Do you remember that? There was a great effort after the COVID shots caused strokes in kids and heart attacks to say, hey, kids have strokes too. There were billboards and bus boards that said that. Remember, kids have strokes too. Here's how to know the signs, that except kids have never had strokes. But it was very normal. Very, very normal. And when we had a Secretary of Defense lie about his health when he was actually incapacitated, asleep for surgery, and he lied twice and didn't tell the figurehead where he was, that's normal. That's very, very normal for that to happen. That happens all the time. When we had General White Rage Milley go to state that he would have called, and he did, he told his counterpart with the Chinese Communist Party military, hey, look, if our civilian leadership, our president decides to launch an attack, I'll give you a heads up so you can, you know, kill more of our troops. That's super normal, you guys. That's very, very normal. And when figurehead Biden decided to step down from running for president after apparently a phone call from Barack Obama informing him he was going to step down, and they installed Kamala Harris without a single vote being cast for her, not a single one, very normal. Nothing extraordinary about that whatsoever, nothing. When we learned that the government was working with social media companies to censor Americans using our tax dollars, again, incredibly normal. That's happened since the beginning of time. That's why we don't have a First Amendment. So all these things were very, very normal. But everything President Trump does is unprecedented. Uncharted territories. I mean, we had a group called DOGE identify government waste. That is unprecedented. For outsiders to be brought into government to help government, unprecedented. Well, I mean, there were the cases where the CEO of Disney was in the White House every other week helping Barack Obama with economic policy. There's things like that. Or, you know, George Soros helping to direct that, or the World Economic Forum bragging about owning state governors and things like that. And you had the health insurance companies that wrote the Obamacare bill, full stop. I mean, and there's that. But this is just when President Trump brought Elon Musk an unprecedented, an attack on the fabric of our nation, utterly unprecedented. But when President Trump decided to go out and start arresting judges because he didn't like them, well, that's unprecedented. That's just not normal. I don't know how many social media remarks you saw about this, or even things you've had said to you by friends or family. For instance, how is this not a red line for you? You know, I got asked that in a Facebook message from someone that I know, and privately, hey, I just have to ask you, I know that you're Republican and conservative and Christian, but I have to have you ask, I've got to have you explain to me, how is this not a bright red warning sign to you that President Trump, or the person wrote, your president is out arresting judges. Please help me understand how this is not causing you to withdraw support from the man, because it's unprecedented. So I shared with this person, his name is Dennis, by the way. I just sent Dennis back a Grok search I did. So I've started to use Grok a little bit on Twitter. It's their AI. And it's the AI I'm comfortable using. I don't like ChatGPT. And Google's AI is pretty good, but I don't trust Google that much at all. Not that I trust Twitter that much. So I looked into judges getting arrested, and gosh, you know, I found some. And this search took me almost 11 seconds. So it was pretty heavy lifting. And I can see why the members of the Mockingbird Media don't do this, because this is a ton of work, guys. I had to go to Twitter and then click the Grok link and then type, create a list of judges arrested in the United States in the past 20 years, and then hit enter. And just after I hit enter, I had to kind of stretch my hammies and my lats, because, man, I was worn out. Woo! A lot of work. Here's what that yielded. In this unprecedented actions of judges being arrested. Walter Nixon, crime, perjury, year arrested 1986. He was the chief judge of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Mississippi, convicted of perjury. Robert Frederick Collins was arrested in 1991. He was a judge arrested for bribery. He was a federal judge arrested. Jack Camp. He'd been a senior judge of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Georgia, was arrested in 2010 in an undercover drug bust by the FBI. He pleaded guilty to 3 criminal charges, was sentenced to 30 days in jail, fined in order to complete 400 hours of community service. He resigned his position. There was another judge, Thomas Porteous, and this was in 2010. He wasn't officially arrested, but he was removed and impeached and removed in 2010. He'd been the judge of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana. He was impeached, convicted, removed from office on charges of bribery and lying to Congress. There was Mark Fuller. Another unprecedented case. Utterly unprecedented. A judge being arrested. Unprecedented. This happened in 2014 in an unprecedented manner. He was the chief judge of the U.S. District Court of the Middle District of Alabama, was found guilty of domestic violence, sentenced to 24 weeks of family and domestic training, forced to resign his position in 2015. And yet more. I continue to find unprecedented cases. All this from 11 seconds spent on Grok, the AI for Twitter. Michael Conahan, racketeering and conspiracy, arrested in 2008. He was the Luzerne County Court of Common Pleas judge in Pennsylvania. This was about the Kids for Cash scandal. Mark Ciavella, 2008, Luzerne County Court of Common Pleas. He was also involved in the Kids for Cash thing. I wonder if that's Cars for Cash, not Kids for Cash. Racketeering and related charges. Thomas David Carruth, 2023. Wait, no, that can't be. Hold on a second. Figurehead Biden was running the country. We had a real attorney general, Merrick Garland. He'd never be involved in arresting a judge. That's unprecedented. Former district court judge in Monroe County, Arkansas, arrested for allegedly soliciting sex in exchange for expediting a defendant's trial date and lying to the FBI. He faces up to 20 years in prison on top of the counts he's been convicted. That was in 2023. And then, of course, we had Hannah C. Dugan, arrested in an unprecedented case. Unprecedented. She was arrested for attempting to harbor and hide from a federal authorities an illegal immigrant. And then Judge Joel Cano, who was arrested because he was harboring Trent D'Arga gang members in his house and helped to destroy evidence. Tried to destroy one of their phones. He smashed it up, and that phone contained 2 images of murdered people, murdered in a gruesome way. So it's just unprecedented that we're arresting judges, as you can see. And I could have asked Grok to go back another 20 years and probably had 20 more cases. So all this effort to make it unprecedented is to do this. It is to drive people into deep fear and deep senses of rage. Now, it's axiomatic at this point that the Democrats don't have a governing structure. They don't have a leader. Some people think AOC is their leader. Some people think it's, AOC. No, it's the, kind of the prevailing theory. It's AOC or broke. They have no governing principle. They've got nothing to prepare except for emotions and rage. And so why are they doing it? Because this summer, you can look forward to more summers of love. J.B. Pritzker is the corrupt governor of the state of Illinois. He has come out and said, no peace for Republicans at any time. Don't let them rest. No peace. He's building up for, let's have some riots, y'all. Those are unprecedented. Democrats unprecedented with riots. So when you look at these events and you take them into account, can we remember something? This is bound to happen. It was always going to happen. Things were always going to fall apart because we're human and fallen and because of sin issues and because we decided to have human kings way back in the day. It goes back to the prophet Samuel saying, do you sure you want a human king? Because right now God's our king. Are you sure you want human kings? And God told Samuel, tell them, there's what human kings are going to do. Well, this is what they're doing. The Bible was clear on that. The Bible is also very, very clear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you can imagine how surprised I was to learn about a bombshell report that came from experts. Because when I see the phrase experts, I think immediately of how we've all benefited from experts like Tony Fauci and Francis Collins and experts in safe and secure elections, where we've seen absolutely safe and secure elections, experts like the people who created our food pyramid and consequently a generation of people with type 2 diabetes. I think of the experts who told us that if we have a Department of Education well-funded and robust and strong, we'll see educational outcomes skyrocket, and then that didn't happen. So I think about those experts. I think about the experts who told us that we will be underwater in the United States by, 7 years ago. So no, I wasn't that convinced that these people were experts. This came out of the express.co.uk. Here's the headline, and it's a bombshell headline. Ancient Egypt bombshell. As Jesus Christ's body found in hidden chamber, claims expert. Found. That's what it writes. Found. They found his body. That's what the headline says. Found it. British anthropologist Dr. Paul Warner claims to have found the body of Jesus Christ in the Ark of the Covenant in a hidden double cave under the Great Pyramid of Egypt. He found it. That's big, because then he went and touched it. And so now we know, Jesus didn't raise from the dead because this guy went and found this body and touched it. So I decided to read the article, and here's part of it. Groundbreaking research claims that the final resting place of Jesus Christ in the Ark of the Covenant may lie within the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. May. It may. Wait, the headline says he found the body, but now it says may. British researcher Dr. Warner has stunned the archaeological world with his claim. Claim? I thought he found his body. That the sarcophagus of Jesus Christ in the legendary Ark of the Covenant could be hidden in a concealed double cave deep within the Great Pyramid of Giza. After a decade of meticulous study, he shared his remarkable findings with the Egyptian Supreme Council of Antiquities, indicating that these artifacts have been hidden away for millennia behind a stone block sealing off the southern passageway's subterranean chamber. Wait, it's sealed, but he found the body. As you can see, he found nothing. Dr. Warner claims substantial fieldwork and sophisticated surveys with Egypt's iconic structure are evidence for his working hypothesis The investigations revealed human-made formations beyond the obstructing stone in the southern corridor. Are you seeing that this isn't anything like the headline? But we're getting to his methodology. Dr. Warner, who clarifies he is not religious, adopted a strictly secular approach to the project. He pinpointed the exact location using the, quote, scientific method, and triangulated data from texts of all three Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The scientific method, he created a hypothesis and then attempted to disprove it with tests. By supplementing this data with written records from the ancient cuneiform and clay tablets of Mesopotamia, Warner employed the scientific discipline of etymology to validate his hypothesis that Mount Sinai, the Mountain of Israel, the Mountain of Olives, and Mount Zion, and the Quran's Mountain of Light, were one and the same mountain. Guess what the mountain was, y'all? The mountain was actually the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Except the people who wrote those books were so stupid. They didn't know it wasn't a mountain. They didn't know it was a pyramid. They didn't have a word for pyramid. This guy has found nothing. But the Mockingbird media was so excited to pretend he had found the body of Jesus Christ. False teachers, we were warned about them. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note. This is a topic I would just rather never have to discuss again. But it must be discussed because it continues to prove itself to be one of the most cynical and dangerous and ungodly things ever done in the history of so-called medicine. And not just medicine, but politics and pharma. And frankly, spiritualism, using that phrase on purpose. And this is the invention of a new class of human being that's called transgender. Purely invented. And it continues to divide families and societies, and it continues to worsen. So I'll give you a light example of this here, and then I'm going to give you a very difficult to hear explanation of a surgery that taxpayers in Ontario have been forced to underwrite by a corrupt, spiritually captured judge. So let me start with the easier to hear. This is out of the separate country of Washington State. This is a post by Planned Parenthood talking about a bill for which 8 Republicans voted. I believe it's 8. I'll check the number. I know it's a number of Republicans voted for this. This bill will reduce the number of trips we take to the pharmacy, the number of calls we make to our health insurance plans, the number of messages we send to our providers, the number of hours we spend coordinating our own care and advocating for ourselves when we should be living our lives. The bill expands access to care that makes our lives feel immeasurably more like our own. That's P.B. Gooden-Hawkins, gender-affirming care navigator. I don't know how you'd say that name. Oh, Planned Parenthood's NAHIC, gender-affirming care navigator. So how do you be a gender-affirming care person? You listen to someone say, I'm the opposite sex, and you say, yes, 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 you are. That's right. In the separate country of Washington State, they're recruiting people to do this in prisons for $225,000 a year. When a man comes to you and says, I'm a woman, you go, yes, you are. That's right. I want surgery and hormones. Okay, let's get that done. And what Planned Parenthood here is talking about is breaking down all of the barriers between anyone and wrong sex hormones and surgery. Here's how they did it. They hid it in a bill. They put it into a bill for cancer patients. People who have conditions of cancer sometimes need extra hormonal treatments. And sometimes this can help shrink tumors or treat cancer. So, of course, in this bill, they slapped wrong sex hormones for kids. And of the Republicans who voted for this, in the separate country of Washington State, is a guy named Ron Mizal. And he put up a long excuse. I voted for HB 1971, both in committee and the Senate floor. This bill covers all hormone therapies for important medical purposes, such as breast and prostate cancer survivors, therapies to help reduce the risk of recurrence and shrink tumors before surgeries. And then he wrote this. Nothing in the bill increases access to hormone therapies or puberty blockers. He wrote that. That's in paragraph two. In paragraph four, the same man posted, well, HB 1971 also addresses hormones used in so-called, he writes gender-affirming care, which is a lie. It's not gender-affirming. Or puberty blockers. It's important to note that the term prescription hormone therapy incorporates a far larger set of medical treatments. Removing puberty blockers and hormones for gender care would not have been feasible. So he voted for it. But he didn't vote for it. He also said, well, this doesn't provide any of these hormones to kids. So he lied. If you can't stand up against this and call out the Democrats for putting lives of cancer patients at risk in order to continue to pervert the bodies of children, you don't have any business calling yourself a representative of the people. And please don't go and lie. Please don't go say this has nothing to do with expanding that. And please don't call it gender-affirming care. And by the way, I've asked the Republicans in that state, are you going to remove him from your caucus? No reply. It's one of the most godless, devious, evil things. The invention of a group of people from whole cloth. Suddenly there's transgender people. And look what it's done to them. This is hard to hear. It's going to be biologically correct, anatomically correct. It's not sensationalist. I'm simply telling you how far this stuff continues to metastasize. This is from the National Post in Canada. Ontario must pay for surgery to give, and they write trans resident. What they mean is a man, both penis and vagina. This is from an appeals court. The Court of Appeals said the government, from taxpayers, must provide a fake vagina, which is a brutal surgery. Always, always leads to massive infections. It's a terrible surgery. While leaving his penis and testicles intact. Very important that this happen. It's his right. Because after all, he's a, I was going to say, woman. That's what we're told, because so-called trans women are women, but he's not even trying to be. Do you see where this ends? It doesn't. It doesn't. I firmly promise you that there will be people who petition courts, and they will get it. They will go and identify as a different species, and they're going to get these surgeries. And if you think I'm lying, I'm friends with a man whose son is convinced he's a dragon. He's had his eyes altered. A doctor did that, so they're reptilian. He had his teeth altered, ground down into spikes. And he is seeking support to have scales installed below his skin, and his skin dyed green. And he's hoping to get this through insurance one day. Like I said, one of the most devious and evil things ever created in society to do these to people. As frustrating then as it can be, on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three stories in today's Tower of Babbling, three soundbites. CNN brought on Democrat Jason Candier, the former Missouri Secretary of State, to complain about the arrest of the Wisconsin judge who obstructed ICE officials.
The FBI just arrested a Wisconsin judge, mm-hmm, accusing her of shielding an immigrant from federal officials. When you're doing stuff like that, it makes people say, you know, not enough people, mind you, but more people all the time say, that's not what I had in mind when Trump was talking about immigration. And these, by the way, are the same people who, when they talk about tariffs, are saying, I voted for Trump because he said he was going to lower prices.
So just for the record, there are no Republicans saying don't arrest judges who secret away illegal immigrants. I mean, no. I mean, if they're in Washington, D.C., shiny shoot, professional Republicans, they may well. But I was just at a Republican Party event with about 300 people. No one did anything but applaud that. I've yet to meet anyone. I get emails every day, probably 10 emails a day, sometimes 20. I have never, ever, from listeners, I have never, ever had anyone say, man, I don't want to see judges who violate the law arrested. In fact, one of the reasons President Trump was elected was because we watched lawfare against him in an attempt to steal our choice for president. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, fake conservative David Brooks hailed the arrested judge for her act of heroic civil disobedience.
And in times of trouble, then people are sometimes called to do civil disobedience. And in my view, when people do civil disobedience, they have to pay the price. That's part of the heroism of it, frankly. Mm. And so you can both think that she shouldn't have legally done this, and that morally protecting somebody against, or maybe not even in this case, but in other cases, frankly, a predatory enforcement agency.
A predatory enforcement agency. Hey, Dave, David Brooks, if there's a judge who doesn't think property crime is a big deal, should she go ahead and use civil disobedience to let people who break into folks' houses, should it be cool if she just has them leave? Whatever classes of crime are you good with? You might have a judge who thinks, look, you know what? Sometimes dude's got to use some hand with his wife. Got to keep her in line, you know, slapping her upside the head a few times. That's not a big deal. Just going to let this guy leave my courtroom. Is that okay? Is that civil disobedience, David? Civil disobedience usually only affects you. You go out and speak in a way or refuse to do something that causes you to go to prison. It's not about freeing dangerous criminals. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. ABC News claimed, without a ton of evidence, really, or any evidence, that Target's foot traffic has been down since they cut back on their DEI policies.
Target, after the company announced it would scale back its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Data from analytics firm Placer.ai shows foot traffic at its locations has declined for 10 consecutive weeks. More than 200,000 people participating in a nationwide boycott against Target. Target made the announcement back in January as other companies pulled back on DEI initiatives after recent decisions by the Trump administration.
So there is no evidence in that report whatsoever to tie this to that boycott. And 200,000 people nationally? That's not a blip in terms of Target shoppers. But yes. Let's make things true in our minds and maybe they'll come true. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Destruction of property is a perfectly viable source of protest. No harming humans, obviously. Yeah. Human life is sacred no matter whose it is. But property is, these are just things. These are just cars.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, strangest thing happened in my married life. Strange. So I'll disclose that to you here. My wife and I sat and talked for almost an entire weekend. Just talked. We went on hikes together. We worked out together. You know, I'm the gym rat of the family. And a little limited what I can do right now because I'm still paying attention to the advice I got from the doctor in Mexico where I got the stem cells from umbilical cords. So kind of limited. But we went into the home gym, such as it is. And she actually allowed me to train her in CrossFit. And I got to tell you something. My wife can bang out a workout. It's impressive for someone who's never really done this stuff. And it's sort of fun because there is also this part of her who is this is very competitive. So in this particular case, I shared with her a time I got on this workout. And she and I do different things in the gym, and we're at a different place and our love of that stuff. So I changed all of one movement of three, and she just killed it. And I just love watching that. I have a nickname for her, and I don't know that I have permission to say it on the air, so I'll hold back, but it conveys someone who is part gentle and part tough. So we've had these moments where, gosh, we just all of a sudden are talking or embracing. We're sitting on the couch together. We watch some movies and then discuss them. And does this seem extraordinary to you? This is the way God designed marriages. And there's been seasons in all marriages where things get tough, all marriages. The other day our pastor was talking about this and he said, hey, for guys who are in a hard marriage, one of the brothers later raised his hand and said, hey, Jim, did you find the easy marriage? Everybody laughed. I just want to praise God for what is being renewed. And what we've been through as a family, and it's so far removed, that time is so far gone, the time of the adolescence and teen mental health challenge, it's so far gone. God has done so much on our daughter. She's allowed him to do so much that there's this breathing space suddenly. And God is filling it. He's filling it with things that we should have been in the beginning. My wife and I weren't discipled people when we met. But he's filling it now with something that to you could seem as mundane as two straight days talking. But he's also filling it with an anxiousness to get home and to have more talking. Would you join me in praise? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.